Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, it's homecoming week, and that's not all. The Findlay City Schools have something else to celebrate, high marks in the latest state report card, but could they be better? Plus, the Fed has begun the process of bringing interest rates back down. Bankrate's Greg McBride explains what expectations consumers should have about how much and how soon that will affect the cost of borrowing money and the return on saving your money. And happening around town, Estes Invitado a la Fiesta. It's a celebration of Hispanic heritage this weekend. We'll get details. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, September 19th, 2024. You know, at some point, I start to wonder whether I'll ever get my voice back. You know, whether maybe this is it. Maybe this is as good as it gets. Maybe I really did something bad. But I'm sure that eventually I will, I'll get my voice back. It'll be back in full voice. And this morning, though, I sound a little like Sherrod Brown, don't I? Not to inject a little politics into this, but that's kind of what I feel like. But anyway... here we are trying to muddle through on a Thursday. I thought I was getting better, but still very rough this morning. This is big news, though. I want to start with this because we always look forward to this every year, and we have the finalists for the National Toy Hall of Fame. This is in New York. They have the National Toy Hall of Fame, and they have announced their 12 finalists for induction this year at the Strong Museum of Play. And the finalists for the National Toy Hall of Fame this year are balloons. Balloons, the symbol balloon. I don't know if I've really considered balloons a toy, but I guess it could be a toy. We use them as balloons. If you ever play like volleyball with a balloon, and or water balloons and all of that, but just balloons in general is one of the finalists. I gotta think that's probably a shoe-in, as they say. The other finalists, the apples to apples party game, choose your own adventure game books. Remember choose your own adventure books? Yeah, I used to love those when I was a kid. The Pokemon trading card game, Hess Toy Trucks, which were much bigger, like on the East Coast, where they had Hess gas stations every year, right around Christmas time, they'd come out with a new truck. It was collectible. Kids would get them under the tree, and it'd be a big deal. The Hess Toy Trucks are nominated for the Toy Hall of Fame. My Little Pony, which I think has been nominated in the past, My Little Pony. So it's back. The card game, Phase 10, the card game. I think Uno was inducted, the other big card game, was inducted last year, a couple of years ago. So Phase 10 is the new card game. RC cars, the remote control cars. Let's see here. The board and card game sequence is nominated this year. I'm not familiar with that, but maybe you are. The stick horse, the hobby horse, the stick horse, the trampoline, and Transformers. So those are the 12 finalists for the National Toy Hall of Fame. So it's always interesting to debate which of those actually deserve induction. And I'm going to pick, and I think it's, what is it, three or four every year that get inducted. I'm going to guess the balloons. I think that's a shoe-in. Transformers would have to be on that list. The stick horse. Every year it seems like there's a classic toy, and the stick horse would seem to be. Pretty good. My Little Pony, because it's been nominated before, so let's just put it in there and be done with it. And the Choose Your Own Adventure books, I like that. Those may be my favorite on the list. Your mileage may vary. If you want to vote on your favorites, you can do so at the Toy Hall of Fame's website through next Wednesday, and the new inductees will be announced in November. So there you go. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. You know, in our day when we were kids, choose your own adventure books were like the latest high tech, or remote control cars or Transformers. Now, kids these days are dealing with AI, and a new poll from Common Sense Media finds that a lot of parents do not know how their kids are using artificial intelligence. They surveyed both parents and teens. What they found was a disconnect. 70% of kids said that they have used generative AI, but only 37% of parents were aware of that. 70% of kids are using it. Only 37% of parents think that their kids, or know that their kids, are using AI. Now, the first thing that comes to mind is that kids are using AI to cheat on their homework, and that's not the case. Yes, they are using artificial intelligence for homework help, but they're also just playing around with it. Some of them, some of that use is just, you know, out of curiosity because they're bored, or, you know, what have you. Amanda Lenhart from Common Sense Media suggests that parents and teachers talk with their kids about how to use AI without violating those ethical boundaries. What they found in the survey is that kids don't want to cheat. That's not what they're trying to do. They just don't know where that line is drawn. So if you can give them some guidance, set up some, establish some guardrails, then you can help them use AI responsibly. But first things first, you got to recognize that they are, in fact, using it. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Let's see here. This is very important, especially maybe as we come up on Halloween, is what I thought immediately when I saw this. A new study to determine America's favorite snacks, and the favorite snack of Americans, Oreo cookies. That is America's favorite snack. We consume 20 billion Oreo cookies every year. And the way they studied this, they used Instagram hashtags and YouGov data to determine the favorite snacks. 20 billion Oreo cookies consumed every year. Over 10 million Instagram posts, including a hashtag involving Oreos in some way, shape, or form. Oreos, your number one snack. I may hand out those little packages of Oreos this year at Halloween. That'd be perfect, because who doesn't love Oreos? 76% of Americans have a positive opinion of the Oreo brand. Second place, Kit Kat, which, again, very popular to hand out at Halloween time. Kit Kat comes in at second place. Snickers, Doritos, and Hershey's round out the top five. So the favorite snacks, most Americans, very important to know. I mean, it's important stuff. We're here to share important information. And finally this morning, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. If you are looking for your dream job, Pizza Hut is here to help. No, it's not that they're hiring. They may be, but that's not what we're talking about. A new study from Career Launcher noted that 98% of all resumes are immediately rejected for a listed job opening. 98% of resumes are immediately rejected, are tossed, in some cases, not even looked at. LinkedIn says at least 75% are rejected outright and not even considered. But the same, Pizza Hut figures, the same cannot be said for a piping hot pizza being delivered to the office. Who doesn't love that, right? So, here's what they have come up with. They call it a resumes campaign. Za as in pizza. Resumes. You go to their special website. They've set up a special website for this. Fill out your information and that of the hiring manager of the employer that you want to see your resume. And you can have a pizza delivered with your resume printed right there on the pizza box. I love it. It's impossible to miss, right? Your resume is printed right on the pizza box. That is really clever. I think that might work. That might actually work. The company says this is one way that your resume will make it hard for hiring managers to ignore. If you try that, let me know how it works. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly to mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-80s, mostly clear tonight, a low around 60. The Finley Police Department has released the latest crime stats for the city, providing an overview of trends and its ongoing efforts to enhance public safety. The police department says it wants to assure residents that the data does not support the assertions that crime in Finley is on the rise and clarify its commitment to factual information and public safety. The police department says the latest statistics indicate that overall crime rates in the city have remained stable. Police Chief James Mathias says the department's commitment to reducing crime and enhancing public safety remains unwavering, and he thanks the community for its continued support and cooperation. You can look over the city's crime statistics in this story on our website. The CEO and chief legal counsel of the railroad involved in the East Palestine train derailment disaster have both been fired.
Norfolk Southern CEO Alan Shaw has been fired.
Now, this comes after the company's board accuses him of having an inappropriate relationship with Chief Legal Officer Navanita Nag. Now, the company says she has also been fired. Shaw was in charge of the company during last year's toxic train derailment in East Palestine. He will be replaced by Chief Finance Officer Mark George.
ONN's Russ Mitchell and Lena Lai reporting. The Findlay-Hancock County Community Foundation has a special grant opportunity focusing on neighborhood revitalization and beautification projects. The Community Foundation says applications for the Building Community through Neighborhood Revitalization grants are due September 23rd. Community Foundation Chief Community Engagement Officer Kimberly Bash says this special grant opportunity has a dual purpose of community engagement and beautification. She says the hope is that the grant dollars will improve the quality of life in Hancock County by bringing people of all ages together to work side by side to beautify their neighborhoods. Get more details on this special grant opportunity from the Community Foundation in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
It is homecoming week, and that's not all. The Findlay City Schools also have something else to get excited about. Pretty high marks on the latest state report card. Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton is with us on the line this morning. And Dr. Hatton, homecoming week, it's always real exciting. And I know an awful lot of fun for the student body. Got a big rivalry game coming up tomorrow night and all of that. So fun time of year.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Chris. Thank you so much for having me. Always excited to be here. It is homecoming week here in Trojan Country. We've had alumni coming back. Our alumni coordinator, Andrea Barger, has done a great job in outreach to our amazing alumni here in Trojan Country. They've been coming back and doing tours of our high school, and the kids have been excited. It's been Spirit Week all across all of our buildings, and yes, it'll culminate with our football game and the homecoming events this weekend.
And remind folks about the parade ahead of the game and all of that. It is a big celebration for the community and for the city schools. As we mentioned, obviously that's not the only thing that is happening this week. Got the new state report cards, and the city schools had a pretty good showing. 4 stars, exceeding all of the state standards is what 4 stars mean, and yet it is actually down a bit from last year. So is this something that you can chalk up to statistical anomalies? anomalies, or has the district in some way regressed from a year ago?
Oh, absolutely not. We are very proud of the 4 stars, which, as you stated, exceeded state standards this year. Just to remind all the listeners, 3 stars on the Ohio State local report card means that a school district met the mark. They hit what they were supposed to do. Yeah, last year we were really proud to have that 4.5 stars. We dropped just a half star down to 4 stars overall. But I did want, yeah, I want to highlight a few of those areas. In our gap closing area, which means we look at each different subgroup of students, and we maintained 5 stars in that area. And gap closing is a really difficult one to hit 4 or 5 stars. Only 29% of districts in the state of Ohio got 5 stars, and we were one of those districts. In our achievement area, which is literally, it's the easiest component of the report card to understand. That's where students, it's just those, where they score on the test itself, like the limited range, basic, you know, proficient, advanced, accomplished. We have more and more students passing it advanced and accomplished over our 4-year trend. So we're really happy about that. We barely missed 4 stars on that one, which would have probably held us at that 4.5. So we're trending in the right direction. The one area where we dove into is early literacy. We took a little bit of a step back. We went from 4 stars to 3. So our entire curriculum team, all of our teachers have been diving into that. And so even with the 3 stars in early literacy, we met our mark, but we want to exceed those standards going into next year.
It is important to note, as you were just talking about, and I want to underscore this, that these report cards encompass more than just the test scores. I mean, people remember years ago when the first ratings were ever introduced, that's what it was. They were just test scores. It's a much broader evaluation now, and as you mentioned, it appears that the weak link, if you want to call it that, is that early literacy. So, how do you address that particular shortcoming?
Well, yeah, and actually, I still think that that's a strength in our district. Again, we met the state expectation in early literacy. We've implemented new resources that align with the science of reading here in the state of Ohio. And one of those is the 95% group, which is a phonics-based early literacy reading resource. And we also adopted K-5, a new English language arts resource across our district this year. So that is in its first implementation. But our teachers are doing an amazing job. I got to tell you, I was in kindergarten classrooms yesterday at Northview Primary, and the teachers were just amazing. First thing in the morning, right after their morning meetings, diving right into early literacy. And I have no doubt we are going to continue to trend up to those 4 stars.
You mentioned new curriculum in this area. Might that have contributed in some way to the dip? I mean, anytime that you introduce a new curriculum, I would imagine that there are some growing pains.
You know, absolutely. And our teachers have done a phenomenal job to dive into not only the state required requirements around the science of reading with the professional learning. I mean, as always, there's a lot on our teachers across the state and certainly here in Trojan Country, but they do a remarkable job of dialing in, locking in on those new resources. And certainly there could have been an implementation dip. I don't think we have enough of a correlation on that yet. We're still diving into this new data, but we are very excited about the future. And we're talking about early literacy. Another one of those components on the report card is graduation rates. As you stated, it's multiple components, and we hit 4 stars there. And in fact, we're really excited to announce that we've got more and more students who are remediation free on the ACT. So our ranking there continues to go up. And so again, all indicators are we are heading in the right direction.
And then the goal becomes not just to maintain that level of success, but to improve it. And I would imagine that in some respects becomes a bit of a moving target, because you're constantly having to tweak and improve those practices to maintain or improve all of those factors.
Absolutely. While we've still got work to do, what we are excited about is just getting a little bit better every single day. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, you know, like I think I might have mentioned last year when we were together at this time, you know, the state test is a snapshot in time. It's just one glimpse in time in the spring of our student performance. And I really look at it as kind of an autopsy, because we are getting this data now on last year's results. And so what we're proud to do here in Findlay City Schools is what's called formative assessment, meaning we are checking for understanding every week, every day on our students, so that we can adjust that those instructional practices to meet their needs in real time. So that's what we're really excited about.
Yeah, a continuous process. Again, Findlay City School Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton with us this morning talking about the latest state report cards. We have the link on our webpage, goodmornings.net, if you want to delve into the numbers for the Findlay City Schools or any of the other local school districts as well. And by the way, while we have you on the line here, I do want to ask you about this here real quickly, because we do have some school delays for the first time this new school year because of the fog. Mm-hmm. Findlay City Schools not among them. Share with us what goes into making that decision when you, I mean, obviously there are times when it's an easy decision to delay or close school. We get a big snowstorm, that's understandable. But on those margins, for those days where it kind of could go either way, what are some of the factors that that you look into in considering whether to make that call?
Absolutely. I'll jump on that. And since we're going to talk about, you know, the surrounding area here in Findlay and in Hancock County, one thing I want to do is give a shout out to our Millstream Career Center. They achieved 5 stars yet again on the state report card and hit all 9 federal indicators. So since we're talking about the county, we have county kids that come into the Millstream Career Center.
Yeah,
and then
good
shifting
point.
Into your shifting into your question about, I was thinking of those kiddos this morning. It's always a difficult call, and especially with fog. I mean, fog is just one of the most difficult things that all superintendents have to deal with, and I think weather people as well. But yeah, in the county, I'm in touch with all of the area superintendents. We all start texting each other very early in the morning, and I'm out on the road, you know, very early with our transportation director and our director of operations. And this was a unique one. The county certainly had fog, not just patchy fog, but some thick, dense fog in areas. There were some visuals that came out of the news stations up in Toledo. Findlay proper, it was really unique. We just had some light patchy fog in just a couple areas, but for the most part, we were crystal clear.
Yeah.
We had high visibility, and that seemed to hold from, you know, 4:45 in the morning when we all hit the road, and then 5:30, you know, 5:45, we have to make that call by about 6:20, 6:30, and all the way to 6:15, we just stayed relatively clear. We could see the moon. We didn't think anything was going to drop in on us. So we always want to make sure safety is that top priority, because obviously fog, ice, sleet, snow, those are scary things for young drivers.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. It's not just the buses and the kids on the buses, but also the drivers at the high school level that have to be taken into consideration as well. It's always the great mystery of how these decisions are made. So we appreciate a little insight into that as well. Again, Dr. Andy Hatton, Superintendent Findlay City Schools. Dr. Hatton, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. As always, thank you so much for having us on, and go Trojans.
Well, it was not a mystery that the Federal Reserve felt that the time was right to begin cutting interest rates. They had signaled as much, but the smart money was on a 0.25% cut, and instead they lowered the federal funds rate by 50 basis points, or 0.5%. So what does that mean for consumers when it comes to how much and how soon that will affect the cost of borrowing money and or the return on saving money? Bankrate Chief Financial Analyst Greg McBride is with us this morning. And first of all, Greg, there had been some speculation that maybe we might see a 0.5% cut, but I think most folks were expecting a 0.25%. What ultimately do you think pushed them to that larger cut?
There was a strong case to be made for either one, Chris. You know, the economy's not falling apart, so you know that certainly was suggestive of a 0.25 or 0.25% cut.
Yeah,
but the larger 0.5% cut would be effectively taking out a little bit of insurance against being behind the curve. We get 2 more employment reports between now and when the Fed next meets in November. And so they were behind the curve on the way up. Inflation got out of control. They were late to get the memo, late to do anything about it. And so taking that larger half point cut tells me they've learned their lesson and, you know, that they erring on the side of maybe taking out of a little bit of insurance so that they don't fall behind the curve this time. If they fell behind the curve, on the way down, it's a lot worse. It's a much bigger problem than what they had a couple of years ago when they were behind on the way up.
So, and which leads to the point that most experts believe this is not a one-off, that we are going to see a series of rate reductions moving forward.
It is, yeah. This is just the first in what will be a series, not only this year, but through much or all of 2025. The Fed raised interest rates at the fastest pace in 40 years to get inflation under control. As inflation has come down, they've started to see some softening in the labor market. So cutting rates now, it's not about pressing on the gas and giving juice to the economy as much as it's letting your foot off the brake so that interest rates don't stay too high too long and make for a really strong headwind against the economy.
So that being said, the historically low rates down at near zero or even 1-2%, those are not coming back. Jerome Powell seemed to make that clear in his press conference.
Yeah, I think the reality, Chris, is that the Fed could cut interest rates to the point where if we get that soft economic landing scenario plays out. Now, the Fed might cut the Fed funds rate from, what had been 5.5% down to, say, 3%. But even that 3%, that's higher than anything we saw in a 14-year period from 2008 to 2022.
Yeah.
So, the new normal could very well be higher than what a lot of people have been accustomed to.
Which brings us to the question of how this directly impacts consumers. And because, just like you were saying, it's been a while since we've had a rate cut of any kind. And it's been even longer since we have come down from these levels that we're talking about right now. So as we were talking about yesterday, just kind of set the stage here, we were talking about this yesterday. The Fed does not set consumer rates on mortgages or anything else for that matter directly, but there is a trickle-down effect.
What the Fed is effectively doing is setting the price of money. And if you drop a rock in the middle of a pond, it ripples out in every direction. And so they don't directly impact those rates, but what they do does ripple out to it. And so, for example, mortgage rates, which tend to move well in advance of the Fed because they're based on longer term rates, they've already come down very significantly. They're down a full percentage point just since May. Yeah. And they're down almost 2 percentage points since hitting 8% last October. Mortgage rates are at a 2-year low right now. So great refinancing opportunity for anybody who bought a house in the last couple of years. Other products that tend to react to the Fed, things like credit cards, home equity lines of credit, even a lot of car loans, those rates will come down as the Fed continues to cut rates, but it's not going to be a windfall. It's going to take a lot of rate cuts for that cumulative effect to really add up. So, particularly with that variable rate debt like credit cards and home equity lines of credit, you have to continue to press forward on aggressively paying down that debt. You can't sit back and expect lower interest rates to bail you out. Rates aren't going to fall fast enough to solve your problem.
So, in other words, we're not going to see a one-to-one correlation necessarily, and it's not going to happen overnight.
Well, there is a one-to-one correlation on things like credit cards and home equity lines that are pegged to the prime rate. The difference is pretty, if one rate cut's pretty minimal. I mean, the average credit card rate right now is almost 21%.
Right. Well, good point.
The Fed could cut rates a whole bunch of times. And
right.
Guess what? Your card rate is now 19%.
Yeah.
Your lower interest rates aren't going to go down fast enough or low enough to bail you out. You have to continue to press forward on paying down that debt and taking advantage of things like those 0% balance transfer offers that are out there. That can really turbocharge your debt repayment.
Yeah. So what about rates of return on savings? One of the things that we've said all along while these rates were going up in our many conversations, it's kind of a squeeze when you're spending, but it is a good thing if you're saving. Now those returns are going to go back down. But again, how much and how soon?
Yeah, I think context is important here. We're not going from a high interest rate environment to a low interest rate environment.
Mm-hmm.
We're going from a high interest rate environment to not as high. So in other words, you're still going to be earning more on savings than you had, for the better part of the 15 years that preceded the rate hiking cycle. And I think the other part of context that's really, really important is, what are you earning relative to inflation? And this is the good news for savers, is that even as rates come down, if you've got your money in the right place, the most competitive savings accounts, money markets, or top yielding CDs, you're still going to be earning more than inflation. And that's a pretty rare circumstance for savers to be able to be earning more than inflation. And we're now entering year three of that. That will continue for the foreseeable future. So yes, rates will come down as savings rates will come down as interest rates come down. Just the way they went up when rates were going up. It's kind of like seasons of interest rates, right? Temperature goes up in the summer, comes down in the winter. You know, we're going to see that. But how does that measure up against inflation? That's the really important part for savers. And I think that, you know, the outlook's still quite favorable, even in a falling rate environment.
Bankrate Chief Financial Analyst Greg McBride with us this morning to give sort of the consumer perspective on the Fed's decision, long-awaited decision, to finally start cutting interest rates this week. Greg, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
The owner of a Corvette in Miami Beach was surprised the other day when he, surprised and shocked when he discovered that there was a stranger sitting in the driver's seat of his vehicle. Well, imagine that. You've got a, you got your Corvette. I don't know if it's parked in the driveway or in a parking lot somewhere or whatever. He comes up to the car and discovers there's a stranger sitting in the driver's seat. Apparently, the individual who was in his car allegedly broke into the vet and then couldn't get out. Apparently, he was unable to figure out how to operate the door mechanism. Now, we've had stories of people who went to steal vehicles and discovered they couldn't drive a stick shift, and so then, but not being able to open the door is, that's a new one. But it is a Corvette. These things are, you know, rather complicated. The suspect is charged with burglary, or I would think attempted burglary, wouldn't you think? Maybe breaking and entering. You certainly couldn't charge him with exiting. He is behind bars. So he is, and he can't open those doors either. So apparently he couldn't raise his bond, so he couldn't open those doors either. From the international file of the broken news this morning, in Japan, a man was actually arrested for calling his wife 100 times a day for several weeks. Now, he insisted he was not making the calls, but his wife noticed that the only time that she wasn't getting this constant barrage of phone calls was when he was either sleeping or spending time with her. Other than that, if he was not with her, if he was not sleeping, he was calling her. She reported him to the authorities for harassment. Police believe that the man used various numbers from like burner phones to conceal his identity. Apparently, he was motivated by jealousy. The calls began after the man saw his wife talking to another male individual. She insists nothing going on, but she was just talking to somebody, but he couldn't handle it. He was actually arrested. He now faces up to 1 year in prison and or a fine of up to $7,000, the equivalent of $7,000. They're harassing his own wife. Wow. That seems like a relationship that's on solid ground. You know what I mean? That's, yeah. Every relationship has their rocky spots, but that's a bit of an extreme. Back here domestically in the broken news, Fresno, California, a malfunction in the grease trap at a local restaurant caused cooking fats and oils to spill into the parking lot, and it made for a slippery and smelly situation. Situation got so bad, in fact, that it prompted a response from local hazmat and environmental health teams, according to local news reports. Officials say the runoff was tested and contained no toxic substances. Well, that's good. You wouldn't want that. It had toxic substances coming from the grease trap at a restaurant. That would be very bad. But the area had to be blocked off for hours while crews were called in to clean up the mess. Yuck. Yuck. Oh, let's see here. And a couple of other items here. Dateline New York City. Police are releasing surveillance video of two people who stole. Now, here's the deal. In the broken news in the past, we have had a number of unusual thefts. People steal all kinds of crazy things. They steal heavy construction equipment like front-end loaders or bulldozers. We had a number of people stealing ambulances, you know, just all kinds of weird things that people steal when they want to get from point A to point B and feel that they have no other option. But this is maybe the most unusual theft of a vehicle. Police in New York City releasing surveillance video of two people who stole a subway train and took it on a joyride. A subway train in New York City happened at the Briarwood station in Queens just after midnight last Thursday. Cops say a man and a woman were caught on camera stealing the train, and after a very brief joyride, crashed it. They are hoping the video, police are hoping the video will help track down the individuals responsible. Why would you steal a subway train? I mean, it's not that you know where it's going to go. I mean, police should be able to track down a stolen subway train. I mean, there are only so many places it can be, right? That's weird. And finally, in the broken news, speaking of New York City, New York City Mayor Eric Adams has kicked off the first ever National Urban Rat Summit this week. The National Urban Rat Summit. It says here the focus will be to learn about how to control and manage the rat population, which has been a big problem in the Big Apple over the years. There will be presentations from researchers and experts from cities throughout the U.S. and Canada. This is not just the National Urban Rat Summit, the International Urban Rat Summit. Mayor Adams says the two-day event will zero in on a framework for urban rat mitigation challenges, including parks and sewers and public housing and crash containers and those kinds of things where you often find the rats. National Urban Rat Summit going on in New York City. We'll look forward to updates. Initially, though, when I saw that story, I thought, you know, the only problem with that is, at least according to all of the cop shows that I have ever watched on TV, if you eliminate the rat problem in New York City, how will the police ever find dead bodies? You know, that's... It seems like that's always how they find the dead bodies. They find the rats. I know that's really gross. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
When local news breaks, you can hear about it on social media at lightning speed. And while getting you the information fast is important, WFIN will always present the story only after verifying with actual sourced facts. This is WFIN News Director Matt Demchek. Trust the voice that's been covering the news in Findlay and Hancock County for more than 80 years. You can depend on us to get the story right every time. On social media, 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and at 95.5 FM.
time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news, and the statistics that shape our lives. This is kind of interesting about where rich young adults are moving to. Where, I mean, these are people, this is an analysis of IRS data from Smart Asset. They wanted to find, they were looking at Gen Zers, young adults, with incomes of $200,000 or more. So these are individuals under the age of 26 with incomes of $200,000 or more. So this is a very exclusive club. There aren't a whole lot of under 26s who are making that kind of money. But these rich Gen Zers are moving to New York, Florida, and Tennessee. New York, at the top of that list, they had a net inflow of 773 such households this past year. Florida had 89 at number two. So big, far and away, number one is New York. On the other side of the coin, these rich young adults are leaving Illinois, Washington State, and Massachusetts. Additionally, the states of Montana, North and South Dakota, and Alaska saw no shift in the number of rich Gen Zers living in that state. And in case you are wondering, the net migration of wealthy Gen Z households in Ohio was minus 38. Not minus 38%, minus 38 such households under 26 making $200,000 a year or more. The reason I thought this was interesting, these are clearly individuals and families who have the resources to live wherever they want to. They can relocate wherever they please. It's interesting to see the states that they prefer to or that they choose to move into and the places they elect to leave. So, happening around town, estás invitado a la fiesta. It is a celebration of Hispanic heritage this weekend, and Jennifer Davis is with us. More information this morning. Did I say that right? Estás invitado a la fiesta. You're invited to the party.
I like that. You did a very good
okay.
job.
Okay. All right. I don't speak Spanish, so I was kind of trying my best there. So tell us about the Hispanic Heritage celebration that is happening this week. It's the Black Heritage Library and Multicultural Center, right?
Yes, sir. Just like last year, which was our first ever Hispanic Heritage Celebration, we are having our second one this year, located, like you said, at the Black Heritage Library and Multicultural Center here in Findlay over at 817 Harmon Street. There's going to be off-street parking. You just walk right up, sign in, and then enjoy the festivities. So Hispanic heritage has a very long significance actually here in the United States. President Johnson actually established it back in 1968 to celebrate all the contributions that our Hispanic Americans have made in this country. And then President Reagan back in 1988 decided that he wanted to make it a whole month entire celebration so that we can thank him for the month-long celebration so that many different communities have the opportunity to do it without having to worry about, you know, interfering with other communities. So the significance of this is that the independence of over five different Hispanic countries are being celebrated as well. So they're also having a good time and celebrating their independence yeah. from whatever country was taking them over. This weekend on Saturday, we're going to be starting at 2 p.m. And we have some amazing raffle prizes this year donated by Michael's Craft Store here in Findlay, Ohio. We're going to have a lot of good some vendors here. We're going to have a lot of food trucks. We have a new food truck this year that's going to be a Hawaiian food truck. It's called the Ohana Spot.
Okay.
We're going to have Ba Egg Roll is going to be there, and we have a bunch of different actually individuals setting up food tents as well to represent their different countries. So we've got Venezuela, Puerto Rico. I think even a young lady from Colombia is going to be giving people a taste of her homemade cooking. And then we've got our favorite DJ, David Sabino, from last year. He's returning once again. We've got a bouncy house. We're going to have some probably an inflatable slide if we can get that over there, some arts and crafts crafts for the kiddos. And then at 5 p.m., we have some dancers coming in. They're going to do a traditional Mexican folklore dance for everybody.
Really terrific stuff. A full afternoon full of activities and fun for all ages. I thought it was interesting you were talking about the long history of Hispanic Heritage Month and the celebration of Hispanic mm-hmm. heritage. It's been going on for a long time, but maybe never more important and more significant than it is right now.
Yes, especially with the acknowledgement of the fact that we have such a larger immigrant population coming in.
Yeah.
And with the situation over in Venezuela right now, their country is in a state of crisis, and we're getting a very large influx of Venezuelans moving here, especially to Findlay, Ohio. And we want to make them feel welcome. We want them to come out and be able to feel that we support their culture and that we're open to having a diverse community here. And I think that just showing our appreciation for other cultures and other people is very good, because it makes them feel welcomed here in Little Findlay, Ohio. And it just definitely teaches other people who didn't know about that culture just a little bit extra to kind of make them feel more comfortable being around those people.
Yeah, that's the other component of this, is the opportunity to learn a little bit more about the culture that mm-hmm. That we see every day anymore. And again, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about yesterday on the program. We've really been talking about all week, striving to understand and show kindness, respect, and empathy to mm-hmm. others and their journey and their life situations that have maybe brought them here to our community.
Yes, yes. They're not coming here by choice. They're coming here by force. But mm-hmm. Findlay has had a great reputation of being a great place to live and raise children, and word of mouth gets around, and a lot of people want that same little slice of Findlay, Ohio, so they come up here and hope to have a better life right now where their country's in chaos.
That's a really good point. I mean, there's a reason why everybody who lives here lives here. Most of us came to Findlay, or were either born and raised here, or came to Findlay mm-hmm. For the opportunity, because it's such a great community to be a part of. And that's the same reason why all of these other folks are coming in as well. They want the very same mm-hmm. thing for themselves and their families. So such a terrific event. And how great is it to have a facility like the Black Heritage Library and Multicultural Center to host an event like this to facilitate that broader knowledge and understanding?
It's been amazing, Chris, and I'll tell you, ever since I found out about that little hidden gem here in Findlay, Ohio, it's been quite a great experience. And if you haven't been down there to check out their library and their artifacts inside the library, they have quite a significant array and diverse population of artifacts from different countries, different religions. You know, it's just amazing about how much they've accumulated since they first got established, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, and they just keep building and adding on to their collection. And I want to add real quick that this year our focus is on a Hispanic outreach. So I've invited almost 15 to 20 different nonprofits here for this year. You don't have to be Hispanic, but our main focus is on reaching out to that migrant population and those populations of individuals who come here and don't know how to ask for help or where to go. We're going to have all kinds of different organizations there that are going to help them look for signing up for resources, education, English classes, you know, whatever they can qualify for, jobs, housing, you know, just because we want to just try and keep people off the streets. We don't want them sleeping in their cars. Mm-hmm. And we see that there is a language barrier that is coming in play with a lot of our immigrant population. And so I have about 15 different native Spanish speakers there that are going to be able to assist.
That is terrific stuff. Again, emphasizing the multicultural side of the Black Heritage Library and Multicultural Center with the in the second annual celebration of Hispanic Heritage this weekend. Again, Give us the details. It is tomorrow. No, Saturday. From Saturday. When to when?
From 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. The dancers will be there around 5.
All right. So everybody invited to be a part of it. And again, Jennifer Davis with us this morning with a preview. Jennifer, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. Have a good day.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. And remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. You can also connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter, and more. Once again, goodmornings.net. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.